This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio today with...
Jeff Sandu.
I've been Yuvraj.
And our producer, of course, is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
Join us all the way through until 1 o'clock, folks. We're talking about whether or not you've considered emigrating to improve your work-life balance. I did that about 15 years ago. Haven't looked back since. Mm-hmm. Although I may have questioned my choices a couple of times as to where I ended up. But I love it here, of course. This is the discussion we're having, and we're having it today because of Randstad released their report. It is the Work Monitor from quarter three, 2019. Basically, the headline is 90% would emigrate to improve their career and work-life balance. 90% of local respondents would settle and work abroad for better career opportunities and work-life balance. 8 in 10, 80% of respondents in Malaysia want to work in a role that allows them to travel. And having an overseas exposure is important to workers as they can gain different perspectives, learn new skills from their global counterparts, and build a global network of connections. They are saying, according to the index, the minimum sample size is 400 interviews per market between people between the ages of 18 to 65 who work a minimum of 24 hours a week in a paid job, not self-employed. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's the stats. Let us know what you think about this. Have you considered it? 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Story number two, leaked. IKEA's smart button hints at scenes concept.
Yeah, some gossip about furniture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Juicy.
And we're wrapping up with It's a Bug's Life.
Mm-hmm. What's all learning, this about? Learning from ants.
Learning from ants. Mm-hmm. Can you help me get rid of them? I have an infestation.
No, we
right
actually
now.
Need them. We really need
no,
them.
I know.
We need to study them as well.
We do. We need them outside the house, though.
They can help us to achieve our smart city dreams.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Right. So you've heard the headlines, you've heard the little briefs about it. According to these results, having the opportunity to work in another country is an important factor for employees. Close to 9 in 10 respondents, 89%. Aged between 18 and 34, are even willing to emigrate to pursue a meaningful career in another country. We spoke with Jaya Das, the managing director of Randstad Singapore and Malaysia, and we asked her what are the factors involved in considering emigrating for your career. This is what she had to say.
I think the first thing that comes into consideration is a person's personal circumstances, whether A, they have the option to do so. I think having options when it comes to your career is a luxury, particularly if you take into account their support structure, what their family environment is like. If the younger generation don't have the luxury of pursuing education overseas and they stay in their own local countries for either because they've qualified for a scholarship or their financial means don't allow them to do that, very often then it is seen as a achievement to be able to migrate overseas and get some work experience. The three main considerations for that is the exposure to other cultures and environments. The second is the sheer experience of living abroad and having a wider perspective. And the third one is generally a sense of maturity or independence is associated with people developing their personal skills when they move abroad to work. An individual who's older is to consider migrating. If they're married with kids, very often a lot of parents consider having their kids grow up in a foreign country, either for better future options or lifestyle, or even education for that matter. Most people tend to have what they call a lifelong dream of living overseas or working overseas. It is a bucket list they'd like to cross off. And if they haven't had the opportunity to do it when they're younger, they tend to look for that as an option in their later stage of their career. And if the company that they work for is a multinational corporation with multiple country operations, and therefore their ability to move internally and get expatriated to another country or city to work in a similar function or a related function is also a high possibility for a lot of individuals.
Jaya Das there, the Managing Director of Randstad Singapore and Malaysia. We've got more from her in a little while. A couple of things that I want to touch on and that are reflected in some of the feedback that we've had already via Instagram and wherever about it being a luxury and about it being an achievement. Of course, not everybody can afford or has the ability to move overseas and study and change their work-life balance. Mm-hmm. I think of the four of us here in the studio, I think only you, Arv, have not studied or lived overseas. Is that right?
Yeah, no.
Christine, you were in Thailand for quite some time, in the UK as well. Jeff, you were in
Singapore.
Indonesia.
Doesn't really count.
Well, it
really count. And it was there for like 6 months.
But
here's
the thing, though. You know, Singapore is number two on the list of countries to move to.
But I was there because of the firm that I was working in sent me over there. It wasn't, you know, me trying to pursue, I'm going to go in Singapore and I want to earn Singapore dollars. It was just more like, they was like, hey, you're going to start working in Singapore for the next 1 year and then you're going to do this. And then after 6 months, I'm like, nah, you know what? I want to come back and I don't like it there. So then I came back. So yeah, that was my story.
So it's like project-based work.
Yeah, it was a project-based for a year. But we kind of, you know, got it done almost about, you know, 6 to 8 months time. And then, you know, I left earlier because like I wasn't really much needed there anyways to just kind of like kickstart things off. And then once that happened, then it was just smooth sailing. And I was just like, what am I doing here anyways? Like, I'd rather be home and, you know, take care of my mom and stuff. So, you know, family is like a big reason in terms of, you know, why you would not want to immigrate outside of Malaysia.
Interesting. Arv, what about yourself? Have you considered this? Is it something you've looked at?
I've considered it, but again, it comes back to what Jeff said. It's always about people more than work. So I balance the two and then I go like, do I want to be around people that I know, I'm familiar with, like family and friends, somewhat friends, or do I want to go to a country like is completely new and look for work and stuff? And it always leans towards the first one, the people.
Right.
And some of the work that I've done here also keeps me satisfied. And I feel like I haven't reached that point where I want to look for stuff overseas yet.
You feel as though your work-life balance is pretty okay now.
Yeah,
right.
I wouldn't have... work-life balance wouldn't be the number one thing why I would want to move overseas.
Yeah.
That's not like the deciding factor yet.
Yeah, I don't think work-life balance is something that, you know, you can find outside of anywhere. It's something that you really have to work hard for it, right? To get that work-life balance. It doesn't mean
you'd be very lucky.
Or you'd be very lucky. So, I mean, if you have all the money in the world and then you migrate to a different country, it doesn't necessarily mean that country will give you a better work-life balance, right? Because, you know, if you want to go into the details, in Malaysia, you could actually have a good work-life balance because we've got so many public holidays. So,
that
itself would sort of give you a balance. You're like, well, how do you define work-life balance? What actually is the definition of work-life balance for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Come back to that in a second. But of the countries that, you know, you've thought about moving to, or you've just gone, I just want to get out of here for a while. Which countries have kind of been at the top of your guys' minds if you were to migrate?
if it was like a buffet?
The
US. That would have to be like number one.
Really?
Yeah, the US would be like number one. Because if you're going to leave your home country and then go to another country to work, you might as well go to like the one that seems most exciting.
Right.
I'm not saying that Australia is not exciting or Singapore is not exciting, but they're not as exciting as the US. Because in terms of culture, in terms of people, in terms of, you know, even culture shock, things that you can learn, and how to say, like, opportunities that open up for you in different like sections, different industries, I think the US has to be like number one. So
interesting.
Yeah, if you're gonna leave home for something, you might as well just shoot for like the furthest one, go to the US.
It's a struggle actually in the US.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been there for numerous conferences. I've spoken to a lot of local people there and talk about how they sort of balance their work life. But I mean, yeah, it on the surface it may seem like, you know, that's actually pretty exciting. It's a challenge that you can take on, right? But it's actually very demanding in the US, and, you know, especially we're like the minority group, right?
Yeah.
It's even worse, right? For me, it probably is still, you know, in that part of the region, probably Canada would be a place that, you know, I guess probably the challenge is more exciting. Not to say that it isn't a challenge. Either Canada or Germany. I just love the way they work. I think the seriousness that they do in their work, and then the seriousness that they do with the life itself. Right?
Why so Canada? Eh?
Those two. you know, let's. I think they've got better leadership in Canada. Let's just put it that way. I guess I think it provides a good platform to build on something, and if you are successful in Canada, you could always just then, you know, travel down south and build something in the US. So I think Canada is not an easier challenge. For me, it's a more exciting challenge. I could even say that there's just so many of, you know, my you know, countrymen there in Canada as well, and I'll probably feel at home.
I don't need notice neither of you have said the UK. A few years ago, that would have been.
I mean, we go there for holiday, right?
Me either. To be fair, I mean, I know a few years ago that would have been probably one of the destinations on the list. But as the years have kind of gone by, it's become a place that seems to be less and less inviting for a number of reasons.
I mean, even now, even today, when you look at the politics,
for sure.
You know, I mean, that has an effect of, you know, do you feel that that's a place that you want to build your life with, right?
I mean, Krista says she wants the UK, but the UK doesn't want her.
There you go.
That's how I feel
about
it.
That's not wrong sentiment. Yeah.
I don't want the UK, but they want me.
New Zealand is probably another one.
New
Zealand has. I love New Zealand.
See, even though I haven't been to New Zealand, when I was younger, moving to New Zealand was one of those things I considered. And the only reason I considered it is because it seemed to be on the end of the map.
And that tended
to be one of the reasons. But, of course, I did move myself about 15 or so years ago, and I chose to move to Asia. China, of course, was the destination I chose. And it wasn't the smartest of decisions at the time because it was driven not necessarily by improving my career or improving the amount of money that I made. It was just a case of, look, I need to do something different. And the furthest place I can get that will be completely different would be China.
Did you move to China because of a kind of restlessness that it had? Because I've heard a lot of people say that they move to certain Asian countries because the country is having like a boom, like it's expanding so fast and they are in a state of like restlessness. For me, the reason I named the US is because some other countries feel like they've sort of settled into a comfortable groove. And I don't know why, but I don't like that. The US seems to be constantly restless with itself. It's always changing and growing, and it's messy, and it's a lot like here. They're not so sure of who they are. They have, you know, multicultural and stuff. So I think that's why it mirrors in a kind of way. So I would pick the US.
I moved to China just as they were preparing for the Olympic Games. So about 2006, they were going through massive changes. That's exactly why I wanted to go there. Ironically, it was a little bit like the Wild West back then.
Yeah.
Right. Time for a break. Music coming up from St. Vincent with Cruel. The question for today, folks, is have you considered emigrating to improve your work-life balance? Let us know. Get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. When we come back, we've got more from Jaya Das, the Managing Director of Randstad Singapore and Malaysia, some messages from you guys, and a bit more conversation. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today we're talking about whether or not you've considered emigrating to improve your work-life balance. Today I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Arvind Braj.
We've asked that question. We've had a bunch of responses. Let's start with WhatsApp first with Jeff.
Yeah, so number ending 530 is actually an international number from Australia. Says that, yes, I did. I moved to Australia 4 years ago and it was one of the best decisions made for myself. Work-life balance is valued here. No evil eyes if you leave the office early. Just get your work done and go out there and enjoy the sunny beaches of Australia. And then we've got another one that's from Karen Wong that says, the reason to live or work overseas better career prospects, not only in terms of money, but also the work satisfaction and less discrimination in terms of gender and race. But it also depends on which country you go to. Reasons not to go, it may include family, food and the weather. And then we've got another one, a number ending 4855 that says, perhaps maybe the Scandinavian regions, you know, happiest countries around and all that. And
that's
probably true. I've been to a couple of Scandinavian. It does feel nice, but I really don't know if I could, you know, live there because one is food and weather. I don't know how they deal with the constant cold and I can't eat fish all the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, weather sounds like a bit of like, you wouldn't think weather, but Malaysian weather is kind of perfect.
Dude, I'm English, you know. This is our major topic of conversation. It's part of the reason I moved.
It'd be
sure.
Something huge you'd have to give up if you left for like another country.
It makes a massive, massive difference, honestly. Mm. Over to Twitter over there.
Bond Rebel says, no, not at my age now, but if I was in my 20s, I definitely will. Constantly Day says, this option is never on the table. The inquisitive observer says, yes, please suggest which country best for that matter. And then Eddie says, no, already having that balance.
Nice.
Probably with all the public holidays.
I've got some over on Insta Story as well. November Blaze has said yes, he's considered it. Natashinka has said yes. Aaron, definitely. Ralph has said yes for Korea. Maylifts, yes, countless times. Asian countries doesn't seem to support the idea of the work-life balance. We're hearing that quite a lot, actually. And to respond back to one of those tweets that says, please suggest which country best for that matter. I can't tell you which country is best suggested. However, it seems that the top choice is in fact Australia. The second choice is Singapore, mm-hmm. with the third being Japan, which for me seemed to be a little bit of a work-life balance in Japan. Mm-hmm. But then when I'm looking through this list, it says, you know, a bunch of people would choose to relocate. In fact, 85% of people would move for a substantially higher salary, and 71% would do so if it means that they can keep their jobs with their current employers. And of course, part of the reason a lot of people move is because these markets also have better currency exchange rates.
Yep.
All of those, of course, do.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because, you know, in Japan, they have one of the highest rates of when it comes to stress at work, depression that caused from work stress and anxiety issues. And then also, you know, the unfortunate suicide as well, right? Like we've seen, you know, numerous reports of, you know, how stressful their working environment is. So, work-life balance in Japan.
Well, we'll find out more about that in a second, because we actually asked Jaya a couple of questions. First, we asked why she thought Australia was the most popular choice for emigration. This is what she had to say.
In Asian cultures, it's very common to want to migrate to a Western country. If you look at proximity for location, Australia is much closer to Malaysia than the UK or the US is. So it comes up as a highly preferred choice for its proximity to home, as well as the exposure. And Australia these days has a large international population. So it almost offers the best of all worlds.
I think that kind of goes without saying, right? It makes sense. But to answer that question about Japan, of course, we all saw it on the list and went, huh? Why would people want to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the top three countries. Why did she think it was?
I think the Japanese culture is a very attractive one for a lot of people, particularly in Asia. They have a very high quality standard of life, as well as a standard of work, and everything that they process and do is seen of high quality and high caliber. So I think a lot of Asians are attracted to the Japanese culture to want to live there and learn. And if you look at, say, Tokyo, for example, it's a very exciting city to be in. So I think a lot of people enjoy the concept of being able to work there.
Now, my question there, to kind of add on to that before we move on to more from Jaya, is whether or not the idea of work-life balance is kind of thrown out of the window for this idea of the grass being greener, right? And you're looking at Japan as this futuristic wonder country where everything is automated and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But yet we hear time and time again of countries like Japan and South Korea where people are mercilessly work to a point of like
where they can't take it.
Almost no return, right?
Yeah. It's also, I think that's because of people. That's what I wanted to ask. The study is interesting, but I don't know how much is experience versus perspective. Like
right.
I say the US. Yeah. I've been in the US as a tourist, and I feel like I want to go back.
Agreed.
And I would want to live there, but I've never lived in the US. Mm-hmm. Maybe my mind would change if I'm there for like 6 months. So you can see Japan. Japan is a postcard country. You visited Japan as a tourist, it's nice. But maybe if you worked in Japan for 6 months, then you would change your mind and go like, no, I want to go home.
Exactly. It's that rose-tinted glasses thing, right?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Speaking from experience, you know, having traveled around Europe and a whole bunch of places, there are countries within Europe that I've been to and I've gone, oh, I'd love to live here, you know? And I took the leap with one of those countries and lasted a year, almost a year, and then thought, oh, I don't know why I did this. And it was because of those rose-tinted glasses. Right, we're going to move on. Jaya, what is the main factor for those willing to switch careers but not countries?
A lot of Asians consider or think twice about being in a different cultural environment because, well, it doesn't allow them to experience what they prefer and choose, particularly if it's a westernized environment, access to food, religion, all of these factors and cultures play a part in their decision-making factors. The next one, if you're supporting family members or you are obligated to take care of family members, the ability to leave your country and migrate is also somewhat limited. So these are the factors that typically drive people to decide against moving countries but want the career switch to experience the learning and the growth.
both of you highlighted both of those things.
Yeah.
You know, family, food availability.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons what we complain when we go on holiday elsewhere is that you can't get food 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Or you get, just, you know, if you travel in Europe, there's only one type of food, which is kebab after like 10 p.m. or, you know, past midnight. You can only get one type of, whereas in Malaysia, you could literally get anything you want.
Yeah.
It's a buffet.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Like, at 2 in the morning. Oh, I know. That's why I'm here, dude. That's why I'm here. To what extent then does technology and its advances factor into stuff like emigrating?
I think when it comes to technology playing a part, the only upside typically is that it enables you to communicate with your loved ones and people at home in a more easy fashion. You tend to FaceTime or Skype if you're trying to look for on how you would keep the connection with loved ones. But apart from that, technology, it allows you to stay where you are in your home country and actually get the regional and global exposure, because it allows you to connect more easily with people overseas. So while it enables people to feel less lonely when they migrate and to stay in touch with loved ones, it is definitely not the main contributing factor as to why people choose to go overseas.
And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people have chosen to stay nowadays as well, is the fact that you can do a lot of this work just by being wherever you are.
Remote working and stuff.
You know, so you can kind of have a bit of the best of both worlds. Final question then, and I'm asking this for people like the oldies like me and other people who are maybe, you know, how does age factor into something like this?
Age is definitely a deciding factor of what your options look like. I think the older you are, the more you have roots in the country that you live in. When it comes to your own family with children and spouse, as well as taking care of older parents and siblings. When you're younger, the concept is the world is your oyster. You tend to be able to experience it a bit more. There are lesser expectations in terms of family wanting to depend on you or expect you to contribute for income or family duties. And also at that age, if they're not married yet, the mobility factor is much higher in relocating themselves than just their spouse and the kids as well. So I think with the younger age category, it's a tick list or a bucket list they like to cross when they're younger to say, I've worked and lived abroad.
There you go then, folks. What do you think to that then?
I think, again, it comes back to the 90% is a huge number. I think it's a frightening number as well. If 90% of respondents want to leave your country and go and work somewhere else, then there's a problem. There was a tweet that I wanted to pull up. It's from Mel Boleba, who says that going abroad spoiled Malaysians whine and always see the grass greener on the other side. And that comes back to what Jaya was saying. I don't think it's they are spoiled or they are whining. But if there's so much interest to leave and go overseas, there has to be some underlying problem. I don't think the number would be the same if you did it in the Scandinavian countries or in Australia. I don't think a lot of Australians would respond and go, yeah, I want to leave Australia and go to some other country to work, at least not 90%. So it is definitely something to look at and fix and study and go, like, why do so many people not want to work here? Like, what's the problem?
It's not a new thing, is it? I mean, this is something we've been talking about as long as I've been here in Malaysia. We've been talking about brain drain, you know, and if this study were done across people that were like 18 to 24 or 18 to 25, where they talk about younger people wanting to go and have exposure to countries, other countries, I could understand that. But this is for people 18 to 65, you know, it's the whole work range. It's everybody. It's not just a small demographic. It's a lot of people. So I think the idea of saying, you know, it's spoiled Malaysians, I think is entirely untrue.
No, it shouldn't be.
I think it's Malaysians in general.
There's some long-term dissatisfaction there of why they keep going. Like, you know, I wish I could go overseas. I think it might be better. Even if they don't know, they feel like they might have better chances overseas to live a better life.
Jeff, any more to add before we take a break?
Yeah, I think it's just the reasoning of why we want to move compared to if you were to do the same survey in Scandinavian countries, you'll get a different reason. It's not to say that they won't want to emigrate to a different country. They would, but the reason why they would could be very different from our reason. So,
if you have thoughts on that and why you think so many people, 90% of these people who were polled chose to move overseas if they were given the chance, let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. When we come back, our next story, it is IKEA's smart button hinting at a scenes concept or whatever that is. Arv's got the deets. We'll be back after this track. It's The Smiths with Girlfriend in a Coma here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.